Preston, I was notified yesterday that Preston had been admitted to the hospital, the Austin Hospital, with the diagnosis of meningitis, bacterial meningitis. And at that time, we thought it was a different organism than the meningococcal meningitis. So at that time, we thought that this post-exposure prophylaxis that we're doing now was not going to be necessary. Between 1 and 2 yesterday afternoon, his doctor in Austin called me and said that now that the culture is growing out, they had done a Gram stain and it looks like it was going to be meningococcal. And at that time, that's when we went into the alert, if you will, where we knew we had to get the word out. We had to mobilize our forces, get the word out, make the post-exposure prophylaxis available, and certainly talk with Dr. Verner here about what had happened. And so yesterday afternoon, we started making it available. We got a hotline set up and certainly got the email out about him. Now, I have talked to his father today, and it sounds as though the patient is doing better. He was able to get out of the ICU, as I understand it today, and he is more responsive and doing better, certainly still in the hospital receiving the intravenous antibiotics, and he'll do that for a number of days more. As far as the other cases, I'm not aware, and Dr. Verner can speak to this, I'm not aware that the other cases have grown out anything in their cultures, and this was more of a precaution with these people who are having these symptoms that they were examined and looked at in such a way at the emergency room.
Can you say which Austin Hospital
he was at? He was at Seton Hospital.
Oh, okay. And is his family there with him, I guess?
I know that his father is there with him, and I would assume his mother is, but I've talked to his father multiple times since yesterday.
His roommates, I understand he had two roommates. Are they okay, or are they still going to school here, or do you know?
Well, from what I know about his roommates is that... in fact, I thought he had only one roommate.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't aware of the other, but that his other roommate had gone out to the emergency room and had been tested for this, and that to date his cultures are negative.
Okay. And any idea how this kind of came on for Preston's case specifically? I mean, was he sick for a week, or what sort of symptoms was he seeing that led up to this diagnosis?
I was aware only of his symptoms on Saturday, and I got this from his father, but he was having some flu-like symptoms of headache and stiff neck and fever.
So he was in Austin over the weekend?
No, I think he had those here, as I understand, that he had those here and had gone to an emergency room here, and his father came to get him.
So it was flu-like symptoms, but nothing real alarming to him, I guess, but it must have been something for him to go to the emergency room.
Right.
If this hadn't been caught as early as it was, what any potentiality for this? I mean, this is a student who has a roommate, interacts with other students on
sure.
Base. I mean, this could have gotten worse if he hadn't have caught this when he did, correct?
Sure, and that's the concern about this is that, you know, it can go it can go bad so rapidly. It can move very precipitously. You know, in the early 80s, we had a case out here that, of course, none of us were here then, but as I understand it, the student was sick at 3 in the morning and came to the health center, and by the time 7 o'clock rolled around, they'd already gone out to the hospital. By the time 7 o'clock, they'd already died. So it can move quite rapidly.
The student died back in the 80s?
I think it was 1982.
How much of this do we see in McLennan County on a yearly basis? I'm sure there'll be one or two cases that always pop up in a population this size.
It's typically what we call a sporadic illness. The cases occur one at a time in communities, and I think nationally you're looking at 2,500, 3,000 cases a year is a good estimate of a national attack rate from meningococcal meningitis.
I've heard that this age group of Preston's is, or college kids are particularly susceptible. Is that right? Or?
It happens in all age groups, and the disease itself can be rapidly devastating and can be mild, but typically it's the more severe kind of meningitis and can be fatal within hours, it's true. The college age group may be more likely to have a rapid progressive disease.
We saw them offering Cipro to the kids. How effective is that as far as either prevention or treatment if you do have the early stages?
It's strictly for prevention. What you're doing with this dose of post-exposure antibiotic is treating the bacteria that are living in the nasopharynx, in the upper respiratory tract. They're not yet causing disease. They're colonizing the respiratory tract. And that's the first step that eventually can lead to infection and disease. But what the post-exposure dose does is gets rid of the bacteria that are living with that person because of their exposure to the that may be there because of the exposure to the case.
That order of Cipro, is this something you guys have to specifically order for this, or is this something you just like penicillin or anything else that you can just stockpile?
Well, we use Cipro for a lot of different problems here at the health center. Now, the amount of Cipro, of course, would soon be depleted, and so we had to increase the amount that we would ordinarily have on hand. And we were able to do that this morning. We depleted our stock last night. We gave out all of our Cipro last night, and we got a larger shipment in today.
Do you have a percentage on that by any chance of how effective that can be?
How?
It's 70% effective when taken after anything like that that goes along with the Cipro?
It's a high percentage.
High percentage?
Yeah. It should be effective in clearing the respiratory tract of the germ, yes.
Now there's a vaccine also that some of these kids have already, I don't know if it's required by doctors or recommended before they enter college, I guess.
It's recommended for entering students. Are you requiring it?
No, we're not requiring it. And every year at our health meeting, the idea is about to require it or not to require it. Come about. It covers in the five serotypes, A, B, C, Y, and W135. But one of the problems with the vaccine, why we're not more encouraging, if you will, about it, we recommend it, yes, but we're not requiring it, is that it tends not to get all of the serotypes, particularly type B.
There are four types of the meningococcus in the vaccines that are available. The one that's not in that vaccine is serotype B, and it causes about 30% of meningococcal meningitis cases. And the confirmed case, in fact, had meningococcus serotype B. So the vaccine was not preventive. So the point there is that students who, or anyone who had the meningococcal vaccine still need preventive therapy if they were in fact close contacts to the student.
And the point that needs to be brought up is this student had the vaccine before he came to campus.
Yeah.
Right.
Any idea about, just since it's recommended, about what percentage of the kids do end up getting that, or is there any way to even monitor that?
Well, we hope it's growing, and in fact we're putting on clinics every year in the fall, to encourage those who haven't gotten it at home to get it here. So we hope it's a growing number, but it's of course not large enough, but we can't guarantee, as in this case, that it's going to cover all the serotypes.
And how effective is that vaccine though if you Of course, it doesn't cover that type, but
the vaccine,
is it pretty effective otherwise?
The vaccine provides antibody response to the other, to the four types that are in the vaccine at about an 80% effectiveness level.
We've got about another minute left before we need to let Dr. Berger. Are there any other questions?
A point I'd like to make, the question comes up, you know, how afraid should people be? Meningococcal meningitis, people who are in fact close contacts to this student have a very low risk of developing meningococcal meningitis. Their risk, because their contacts, is still really low. But this is a potentially devastating, life-threatening illness, and it is preventable, and the preventative dose of antibiotic is what needs to be taken, so the word gets out to those who are in fact close contacts, and get your dose of antibiotic. But because you were in the same building, because you were in the same campus, because you were in the same stadium, does not mean that your risk is really any higher than it is any other day.
What type of close contact would constitute being too close for warranting an actual...
Yes, the guidelines are is that if you've been with this case, the infected case, the proven case, for more than 4 hours a day for the past 5 to 7 days, you should be considered a close contact. And so, you know, anybody who fits that definitely does need to get the Cipro prophylaxis.
I'm guessing on the floor, you lived in a residence hall, I guess?
Yes.
I'm guessing on that floor there had to have been some sort of cleaning precautions or something taken. Do you know what was done on the floor there?
It's an airborne, droplet-borne. You inhale, you breathe in the bacteria, and so it's not transmitted from surfaces and carpets. And so there's no... His room doesn't need to be burned.